In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever thought of yourself as the worst sinner ever? Worst one in the whole world. You know, I doubt many of us think of ourselves that way. In fact, if we did, we'd probably be accused of being out of touch with reality or bad case of low self-esteem or something like that. But St. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, refers to himself as the foremost sinner. And this line's quite well known. There's a hymn that starts off with this. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. But what are we to make of this idea that Paul sees himself as the foremost sinner? You know, is it that Paul was suffering from low self-esteem? Did he go through bits of depression or something where he just thought everything was worse than it really is? You know, it doesn't make sense that he would say something like this. Paul's a great guy, right? I mean, he's this apostle of the Lord. The Lord calls him, and he does tremendous work for the gospel. I mean, isn't it obvious that if you take somebody like the apostle Paul and you stack him up with, choose any tyrant from history, and you'd say, well, he's no Hitler. I mean, obviously, he's not the worst sinner out there. But Paul, nobody's going to come to this conclusion he's the worst one out there. Of course, Paul's guilty of sins, and he admits he'd done some pretty bad stuff. He used to persecute Christians before being converted. But, you know, it's not like he's a serial killer or pedophile or something like that. What he did was a religious zealot. He thought he was actually working on behalf of the God of Abraham and Isaac, and he thought he was keeping people from getting taken up, keeping Jews from getting taken up into some new cult that was leading people astray. And when, of course, the true Messiah revealed himself to him, well, he repented, he corrected course, and he did what was faithful and just. This whole business of him being the foremost sinner just doesn't seem to fit when you look at the whole picture. And that's why some would say, well, you know, Paul maybe is just really down or something while he's writing this. Others, though, may explain it this way. You know, maybe Paul is just talking that way. You know, he wants to sound like, oh, he's so humble. He doesn't want to come off as proud. And so he doesn't really think that about himself. He doesn't think he's that bad, but he's just talking that way here to let everybody know that he's not a braggart. Paul's just posturing to try and pass himself off as modest and unassuming. And while both of these are possible explanations for Paul's famous comment about being the chief of sinners, neither one of these is really the best explanation of Paul's statement. And in order to prove that, let's just go look at this in its original context. I mean, the line comes from our epistle reading for today. It's the first chapter of Paul's letter to Timothy. And here he writes, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. According to these verses, does Paul really believe that he's the foremost sinner? You know, earlier, Paul describes himself in this passage in his former way of life as being a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. He's referring, of course, to his life before conversion, one who's arrested and participated in killing Christians. He doesn't make excuses for his behavior, but he acknowledges his sin and its full severity. And even though he had long since repented of those things, he still saw himself in the present tense as the worst sinner. And there's no denying that Paul was a sinful person who committed terrible deeds, but what about this business of being the foremost? Well, there's a couple different translations of this. Maybe we can come at it this way. You know, the NIV rendered it this way. It says, Christ came to save sinners of whom I am the worst. The Old King James is where we get this idea of the chief of sinners, right? Is the sinners of whom I am chief. But the word in the text here literally doesn't mean either of these things. The word literally means first. The Greek word is protos. You know, it's where we get the prefix in English for proto. Like if you say a prototype or something, it means the first one of its kind, right? So I guess if you want to do a casual translation of it, it might go this way. Christ came to save sinners, and when it comes to sinners, I'm number one. Something like that, right? So it's true, Paul really thought of himself as an evil and wicked sinner, but there's more at work here than just low self-esteem. By thinking of himself as first and foremost sinner among sinners, Paul's not delusional. He's not out of touch with reality. He's doing rather what every one of us ought to do. Because, you know, in talking about sin, there's no one who sins we know better than our own. And Paul is in this place too. He may be aware of other people's sins, certainly is. He condemns people and tells them to repent and change their ways, but he's keenly aware of his own sins more than anyone else. And isn't this the way we're supposed to be as Christians anyway? More concerned with cleaning up our own act than pointing out what's wrong with everybody else? You remember what Jesus says on this matter? Why do you look at the speck in your neighbor's eye and miss the plank in your own? And it's always how it seems to go, isn't it? We see other people's sins, we exaggerate them to be so terrible, we minimize our own sins and quickly pass them over as if they're no big deal. Instead, what we ought to do is follow Paul's example and Jesus' teaching on this matter. And I want to invite each of you today to change the way you think about sin. To actually think of yourself as first and foremost among sinners. I'm not saying this because I think you're particularly awful people and I want you to think this way. No, but I commend this practice to you because it's helpful for you to think of your own sins first and foremost and come to the conclusion that your exact rank among sinners isn't really important. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we might just as well be the worst sinner in the world anyway. Let me explain. I mean, it's appropriate to think of your sins first and yourself as a foremost sinner because it'll keep you from making excuses for your sin. In contrast to excuses and rationalizations, we ought to resign ourselves to the conclusion that as far as we know, there's no sinners out there worse than me. And it's helpful to do this because many of us have a hard time owning up to our sin, taking responsibility for our actions. It's just so much easier to pass the blame off on somebody else, shift the focus entirely, to get the eyes off of us. You know, I mentioned that, you know, it's not like he's Hitler before, right? Like this Hitler analogy. We can always find somebody worse than us and say, yeah, maybe bad, but I'm so much better than that guy. And in doing that sort of stuff, we let ourselves off the hook. We think that it'll all work out fine because on the curve, I'm actually seated pretty good. But here's the thing, we're not graded on a curve. There's no prize for pretty good or better than some. It doesn't work that way. Before God, there are two categories, perfect and imperfect. And all of us fall into that latter category. And because of this, before God, we stand condemned, all. Whether we're condemned or really, really condemned is irrelevant. It's like saying, sure, I owe $100 trillion, but that guy owes $100 trillion and 98 cents. Well, who cares? You know, at that point, neither one of you can pay. It's so beyond what you're able to come up with. What's the point of talking about the difference? Not how well we stack up to the sinner next to us. That's not how we're going to be judged, but how we stack up next to God's perfect law. And when we consider the holiness and the perfection that God calls each of us to, in our failings on account of our sins of thought, word, and deed, it's only fitting for us to conclude our sins are the worst, first, foremost. That's how St. Paul thought of his sin, and it was precisely because he realized his standing before God as sinner number one that he became such a great preacher of God's grace in Christ Jesus. You know, from the earliest days of Christianity, it was threatened by legalism. And what I mean by that is this, that, you know, it comes out of, Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and the Jewish faith is there, and it's so set on following the law that even among the first Christians, they had trouble understanding what it is to be free and set free by the grace of God. They thought, well, Moses gave us this set of rules, And now Jesus just expanded it. We have to follow these rules. And it's just by following the rules, only they're slightly different. And so we have to focus on being and doing, and that's what saves us. And Paul saw right through it. He knew there was nothing he could do that was ever going to make up for any of his sins. Nothing he could do to prepare the damage. There's nothing he could offer God to make up for his past. He certainly didn't offer excuses or explanations because it wouldn't do any good. No, what Paul realized is the only way for a sinner to be saved is by the mercy of a gracious God. Only by God's loving kindness toward man can any sinner be saved. And Paul experienced this grace when God sought him out, called him back to the fold, brought him to repent of his former ways, and sent him on a path that would use him to reach many for the kingdom. And so Paul became the great proclaimer of this gospel of grace. He took the gospel throughout the world, traveling as a missionary. His inspired writings, too, are also just filled with gospel. We get some of the most beautiful passages of gospel in the writings of St. Paul, this terrible sinner whom God rescued and called out of the darkness and put him on, gave him in the kingdom, put him in the kingdom. He shares this beautiful gospel message with us because he gets it. He knows what it is to be saved by the grace of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He knows what it is to have the forgiveness of sins. He says, take it from me, for I ought to know, because I'm the worst sinner out there. And so from this perspective, Paul champions the gospel of Christ's forgiveness. And of course, one of the great writings that he talks about is the one that's found in the text for today. Listen to it again. He even sets it up and says, here's a trustworthy saying deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. If you too see yourself as a great sinner, you take that notion to heart, not merely speaking it with your lips, or pretending to be something you don't truly believe, but if you really take it to heart, you're much closer to God than those who are still trying to justify themselves and still acting as though they're will get somewhere by behaving better than others. Those people are in denial about their condition. They're not the people whom Christ came to save. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Not self-righteous, holier-than-thous. Christ came for sinners. People exactly like you and me. We're Christian people who know our sins. We freely confess them. And it's only sinners like us whom he can help. The self-righteous aren't interested in what he's offering. They're like sick people who deny their illness and refuse to go see a doctor. But we know better. We're very aware of our sins. They weigh on us. They concern us. They bring us to shame and regret. We wish we could go back and undo them. We hope we don't repeat them. We wish that we could finally be free of them. Well, the good news is that in Christ Jesus, we are. God has gone to work on people like us, brought us to deal with sin rightly. His law has convicted us, and the result is that we are honest about our sinfulness, and we're honestly seeking help in dealing with sin. Because of this, we look to Jesus Christ, the great physician and answer to our problem. God sent him into the world for us sinners. He came to live a perfect and sinless life in our place and then to offer up his perfect and innocent life on our behalf. Christ came to be our Savior, to deal with our sin, to live and die for us. And all of us, even though they're the worst of sinners, have forgiveness and everlasting life on account of his grace and mercy. It's unearned. It's completely a gift. And this salvation he won for us is given to all who trust in him. Therefore, the good news about God is not just that he loves us, but that he loves us in spite of the fact that we're terrible sinners. You know, it's easy to love the lovable, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the gospel hope we have and in which we live, that in spite of our sin, God loved us and sent his Son to save us. And even now, he works through the Holy Spirit to call us to repentance and faith that we might have all these things, forgiveness, salvation, and life everlasting in his name.